Okay, so we'll call the meeting to order. This is the May 2019 Health Research Science Board meeting. And as everyone knows, these meetings are recorded. It's sort of an original podcast. And the recording of this meeting will be available on the website within 3 days. So for everyone speaking, please speak loud and clear. Speak one at a time. Limit side conversations and paper ruffling. And we've had this issue. We sort of, even though we're connected by the wonders of video conferencing technology, it's very much the case that in the past we tend to get sort of side conversations that go on either in Albany or in downtown in Manhattan. So try to keep that to a minimum, if at all possible. And since it's recorded and people want to know in the future, state your name before you make a comment. So with that, I guess we can get going with the introduction. So please, your name and affiliations. And I guess we can start with you, Ms. Butkowski O'Brien.
Don't hear her.
Can we get a little volume increase there? Is it here?
Or she needs.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay. Oh, that's
awesome.
Is that
good?
Yeah.
Magic.
Try it again.
Try it again.
Catherine Bukowski O'Brien, you hear that?
Yes.
Oh, Catherine Bukowski O'Brien, Staten Island Breast Cancer Research Initiative, Health Educator and Trauma Family Therapist.
It's okay. She was better this time. You don't need to.
Okay. Randa Mayer, Great Neck Breast Cancer Coalition, and an attorney.
Dr. James Spire, I'm a professor of medicine at the Perlmutter Cancer Center at NYU, a breast cancer specialist.
And Fran Lynch, a breast medicine specialist.
There she is. Julian Fush, Department of Health, Waterford Center.
Farrah O'Brien, Department of Health, Waterford Center.
Okay, thank you. Here in Albany, Jeanette.
Good morning, everyone. Jeanette Dippo. I am a Central New York survivor.
Charles Burns, Department of Health, Wadsworth.
Beverly Cannon, Breast Cancer Options, Patient Advocate.
Gina Resta, I'm a medical oncologist in Albany.
Carly Van Patten, Wadsworth Center.
Vicki Dalbisha, Wadsworth Center.
Suzanne Hicks, melanoma and breast cancer survivor.
Andrea Garavelli, Wadsworth Center.
Doug Conklin, State University of New York at Albany, breast cancer researcher.
Terry Asienzo, Wadsworth Center.
Jonathan Carmel, Department of Health, Regal.
Brian McPhee, Department of Health, Center for Environmental Health.
Okay, thank you very much. So it's good to see everyone today. As you know, with the history, anytime we actually see people and we have quorum, and it's a reason to celebrate.
Doug, is it possible for you to just up the volume a little on your end?
This is
we
the.
Can hear you. Just a click or
two. It's probably
this
their end.
That's not.
No.
No.
So, do you want me to go back through the jokes, Jim, or is it good?
No, they were great.
No, were they? They're better when you can't hear them? I get it. Okay, so it's, as always, thank you so much for being here. We have a lot of work to do, and I think everybody's really been working hard the last few years, too, and has been committed to it, and I think we're doing a good job approving these and getting the money out the door. So there was been a discussion maybe when we, well, we'll if you have questions about the composition of the board, maybe that's something we could touch on in the future. Along those lines, Dr. Maria Carney, who was appointed in 2014, has concluded her time as a member here on the board, and we've thanked her for her service. There are currently two gubernatorial candidates. That means those are candidates that are nominated by the governor. They are not running for office here necessarily, that are in the vetting process to fill scientist vacancies. And there are four other vacant scientist seats and two regional breast cancer survivor advocate seats that are in some way are in process in some instances to be filled by legislative leadership. So the two regional seats are in the Hudson Valley and in the Western New York regions. So I'd also like to note that Joan Harris, who was here as counsel for the board, is has concluded her time working with us, and now we have Jonathan Carmel, who's here today as to represent the DOH at the board meetings. And so there's always turnover, and yet we've got quorum, so that's good. So the board members should have received today's exhibits. And there's obviously a lot of material to go through. If you've got your hard cover version of the printouts, I think everything's in there in order that we can go through. The agenda includes a number of items, discussion and voting on applications, and we'll also receive a program update from Janine, and we'll discuss future RFAs. And we'll have a public hearing. So we'll start then. First item to actually vote on is the minutes from last June 18th meeting. Those are in the book as Exhibit 1. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at them. They were scintillating. Any comments on last year's meeting minutes?
I have a comment question. This is Beverly Cannon. And I just think this is not clear on the action item, the third action on page 3, the second paragraph. During discussion, Ms. Cannon stated that the Brown RFA should be released every year. Teresa Asienzo confirmed all three RFAs would be released every year, and the funding program for the Brown and Healthcare Practitioner RFAs would alternate every subsequent year thereafter. So they're all three being released every year, or
yes.
Would it just be the first year? What, you're releasing it without funding? Is that the idea? I just got confused about what we decided when in reading this.
So we couldn't do, this year when we released it, it was $270,000 for Pat Brown and $540,000 for healthcare practitioner. And then the idea was, so that would give two awards for healthcare practitioner, one award for Brown. And the idea was that next year we would switch it to Brown be funded for two awards and healthcare practitioner be funded for one award. And alternating each
year. Yeah, okay, but that's not what this, it's not clear here. I would just rewrite.
That's a lot to be sort of boiled down to funding program each year. Right, you might want to be
more specific
to an action item. I think it needs to be more specific.
Good catch. Other comments on the minutes?
Oh, one other thing, I did make a note here. On these, the summary of the funding on the Huntington Breast Cancer Coalition, Shouldn't, instead of a $266,000, shouldn't it say it wasn't recommended for funding? In the column, recommended
put
for funding.
Zero, yeah.
It should say not recommended for funding.
And that was the only instance?
Right.
Where it was misdescribed?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Another good catch?
Yep.
Okay. So no other comments on the minutes? So can I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented, or as amended?
So moved, Jake Spire.
Dr. Spire?
Second, Beverly
Second
Cannon. Time.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, so let's have a roll call vote on this. We'll start with you, Ms. Cannon.
Beverly Cannon, aye, yes.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette DeBoe, aye.
Kathy Cassidy, aye.
Reggie
Mayer, aye.
Jude Spire, aye.
Is that 9-0?
Okay. That's 9. That motion is approved.
Okay, so the motion is approved. Okay, so that's item 1. Excellent. So the main part of what we're doing today is considering applications for funding. And so Andrea will give us an overview of the three RFAs that we are considering applications for today. Before we move into executive session. And so just in general, while we're in public session, when we're talking about applications, we can only talk in generalities. And so that'll be both now and in the future when it's time to vote. So Andrea, it's all up to you.
Okay. So Exhibit 2, which can be found in Tab 4 of your binders, is the order of review for the Peter T. Rowley Breast Cancer Scientific Research Projects Round 5 applications. There is $2.16 million available to fund approximately 5 to 7. When we released the RFA, not knowing the funding levels that we would receive, this RFA was issued in October of 2018, and 37 applications were received. These applications were peer-reviewed February 26th through March 1st, and no applications were triaged. All applications were scored on a scale of 1 to 9. The research plan score is the tiebreaker, and we had a couple applications where the overall and the research plan we're tied, so the next tiebreaker would be the impact score. Exhibit 3, which can be found on tab 10 of your binders, is the order of review for the Patricia S. Brown Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education Research Projects, round 6, that had $270,000 available to fund one application. This RFA was issued in October 2018, and we received two applications. These applications were reviewed on February 14th and scored on a scale of 1 to 9. There were no ties among these applications. Exhibit 4, which can be found in tab 13, is the order of review for the Healthcare Practitioner Breast Cancer Education Research Projects, round 2. There was $540,000 available to fund two applications. This RFA was issued in November of 2018, and we received two applications. These applications were also reviewed on February 14th and scored on a scale of 1 to 9. Contracts from these three procurements were scheduled to begin September 1st, 2019. However, we will have to postpone the start date until October for Pat Brown and Healthcare Practitioner and November for the Rowley contracts. And that's just for the timing on our end that we need to get approvals and get all the contracts executed. We had hoped to meet a little sooner.
The Rowley contracts will be 2 years, and the Patricia S. Brown and healthcare practitioner contracts will be 3-year terms. Does anybody have any questions?
No? So, quickly, one more time. So
yes.
The delay in the start date is how much?
It's a month for
a
month.
So not like 18 months.
Right.
Okay.
It's a month and 2 months for Rowley.
1 month and 2 months.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks very much, Andrea. So we now need to discuss the actual peer review of these applications. And so we would do that by moving into executive session where we can talk about specifics about each of the applications and the reviews. So could I get a motion to move into executive session?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Dippo?
Jeanette.
I second.
Ms. Hicks seconded. Okay, let's do a roll call vote. And
I think those motions need to be spoken into the record. Couldn't hear you. Couldn't hear you. Didn't identify who it is.
Jeanette Dippo, I move that the board go into executive session to consider the proposal.
Suzanne Hicks, I second.
Okay, and we have the, I guess you've written it down already.
Yes.
I'm sorry. okay, and so now we can do a roll call vote, and I probably easiest to start with Ms. Butkowski O'Brien.
Hi, I motion to move the executive.
Just I, or an I or nay?
I. Stanton, nay or I?
Inspire, I.
Beverly Cannon, I.
Gina Resta, I.
Suzanne Hicks, I.
Doug Conklin, I.
Jeanette Dippo, I.
Okay, so that's 9-0.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay, motion's carried. So we're back in public session, which means that we will be recorded. So the executive session is closed, and the next order of business then is to recommend applications for funding for the 3 breast cancer research RFAs. So the first group that we'll consider are the Peter T. Rowley Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education, the Peter T. Rowley Breast Cancer Research Projects, and Andrea and I will lead you through the applications in Exhibit 2 of your binder. So the first application, so for each of these, we're going to.
The number? Yeah, the application number.
Number?
Name. Organization and investigator. We can't say school.
Organization.
So it's just as a title for us.
Okay, so, and for each of these, then we'll. And we're going to bring these up as well. We're going to vote on everything too.
We're going to vote up into number 6.
Number 6.
Yep.
Okay. I'm so glad we're back in public session for all of these clarifications. So, the first application that we'll vote on is DOH01 Rowley 2019-00037. From Albert Einstein College of Medicine. The investigator is Maya Okte. There are no recusals on this. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
So moved.
I move.
Second.
Randa.
Random Air.
Gina Resta.
And Gina Resta. Okay. Any discussion of this application? It's on racial disparity in pro-metastatic breast cancer microenvironment and response to chemotherapy. Okay, let's have a roll call vote on the motion.
Captain Chester, Warren, aye. Captain Mayor, aye.
Squire, aye.
Beverly, aye.
Beverly?
Did we get What's her name? Beverly Cannon, aye.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dippo, aye.
Okay.
This motion is approved.
So the next application is order of review. This is DOH 01 Rowley 2019-00044. The organization is the Trustees of Columbia University in the City of New York. The investigators are Piero DeLerba and Mary Beth Terry. There are no recusals on this application. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
So moved.
Suzanne Hicks. Second.
Jeanette Dippo.
Okay, a roll call vote.
Captain Chester, Warren, aye. Brandon Mayer, aye.
Jim Spire, aye.
Lee, aye.
Beverly Cannon, aye.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dippo, aye.
Okay.
This motion is approved.
So the next application is DOH 01 Rowley 2019-00009, Organization Research Foundation for SUNY at Buffalo. The investigator is Heather Ox Balcom. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
So moved, Beverly.
Seconded?
Jeanette Dippo, aye.
Jeanette Dippo.
Second.
Roll call vote. Dr. Witkowski O'Brien?
Aye. Brandon Mayer, aye.
Jim Spire, aye.
Beverly Cannon, aye.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dippo, aye.
This motion is approved.
Okay, so the next application is DOH 01 Rowley 2019-00039, the organization Albert Einstein College of Medicine, with the investigators Ann Bresnick and Jonathan Backer. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
So moved, Captain Pastier, Warren. Seconded, Randa Mayer.
Seconded by Randa Mayer. Okay, so let's have a roll call vote on this application then.
Captain Pastier, aye. Randa Mayer, aye. Chair
Squire, aye.
Beverly Cannon.
Oh, excuse me. Dr. Lake, we didn't hear you. We still can't hear you.
Diana Lake,
nay.
No.
Thank you.
She's Beverly Cannon, nay.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dippo, aye.
Okay, this motion is not approved.
Okay, so the next application is DOH 01 Rowley 2019-00038, Albert Einstein College of Medicine. The investigator is David Entenberg. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
Suzanne Hicks, so moved.
Second.
Beverly.
Roll call. Ms. Bukowski O'Brien?
Pastor O'Brien, aye. Randy Mayer, aye.
Jim Spire, aye.
Beverly Cannon, aye.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dippo, aye.
Okay, this motion is approved.
Okay. And the next application is DOH 01 Rowley 2019-00020. From the University of Rochester. The investigator is Zhen Chang Yao. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
So moved, Beverly Cannon.
Second, Captain Kowski O'Brien.
Okay, roll call vote. Ms. Bukowski O'Brien?
Aye. Ann Mayer, aye.
Jim Spire, aye.
Beverly Cannon, aye.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dippo, aye.
So the motion is...
this motion is approved. I'm just trying to get a total here.
Okay, so in summary, the board has recommended 5 applications for award for a combined total of $1.76 million. Okay, so we're going to skip.
Excellent. Okay, so now we'll consider the Patricia S. Brown Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education.
Oh, we're not going further and so that we have funded, not approved, but not funded. I thought we did. I thought we had.
No. So the Pat Brown Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education Research Projects. This is round 6. Do we have recusals here?
No,
just in the education, in the healthcare.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay, so there are no recusals on these applications. The first application is DOH01PBRWN6 2019-0006. The organization is the Research Foundation for SUNY at Buffalo, and the investigators are Laureen Tumiel-Berhalter and Charisse Walker-Betts. May I have a motion to approve this award for funding?
I'll move. Jeanette Dippin.
And a roll call vote, Ms. Bukowski O'Brien, to you.
Aye. Brandon Mayer, aye.
Mayer, aye.
Luke, aye.
Beverly Cannon, aye.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dippel, aye.
Okay, this motion is approved. In summary, the board recommended 1 Pat Brown application for award for a total of $270,000.
Okay. And let's move then to the Healthcare Practitioner Breast Cancer Education Research Projects. This is round 2. Application 1, we have a recusal. So Dr. Spire,
oh,
you
no,
would
no,
be...
No. Nope.
He doesn't have to step out?
We don't, because we have to unblock.
Oh, this is the unblock. I'm sorry.
Yes. We have to what?
Getting ahead of ourselves.
With the unblock. Oh.
Okay, so as we have done in the past, in part to deal with continual frustrations of related to quorum, we're going to vote on this healthcare practitioner, these awards en bloc. And so that would mean that we will consider funding. And we're going to considering the top 2 applications to the commissioner using the peer review results that we've taken into consideration. Okay, so this is an en bloc because we've got some recusal. So what we're going to do is the possible votes are yes to vote the top 2 applications or no, not to vote, not to back the top 2.
Okay.
Is that clear enough? If it's clear enough for me, hopefully it works for everyone else. Okay.
Doug
Spire?
Does recusing from one mean that I should recuse from the block vote?
No. In fact, that's why we're voting on block. So we're
okay.
Okay. So may I have a motion then to recommend awarding the top 2 proposals? In the...
I so move.
Okay. Thank you. Suzanne Hicks. Moved. Seconded by?
Brandon Mayer.
Brandon Mayer seconded. Okay, so let's have a roll call vote on this. Ms. Bukowski O'Brien, to you.
Aye. Brandon Mayer, aye.
James Spire, aye.
Luke, aye.
Beverly Cannon, aye.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dippel, aye.
Okay, this motion is approved.
Okay, excellent. So that's a total of
2 awards for the healthcare practitioner for a total of $528,000. The board's recommendations for all 3 procurements will be forwarded to the Commissioner of Health for approval.
With his approval, the letters of award and regret will be sent to the applicants with their critiques and scores. From there, we will work with the awardees to finalize their work plans, budgets, etc., to get the contracts executed. As discussed earlier, these contracts are scheduled to begin in the fall of 2019. Okay.
Okay.
Our next item on the agenda is program update, which is Exhibit 5 in your meeting materials. And Janine will provide an update on the current HRSD contracts.
You can't understand her at all.
Janine, one second. All right, tab 15.
Thank you.
Okay. There is a program update, and I believe she just said she's going to start with the purple.
You may need to get close to a microphone.
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of work underway. Excellent. Okay, so related to that, that's the past and present. What about the future RFAs?
At the board meeting in June 2018, the HRSB approved the release of Rowley, Pat Brown, and healthcare practitioner RFAs every year. The board specified that the funding program for the Pat Brown and healthcare practitioner RFAs would alternate every subsequent year. We are planning to release all three RFAs in 2019. So, as a reminder, what was voted on in June 2018 was $270,000 would be available for the healthcare practitioner round three RFA, and $540,000 would be available for the Pat Brown round seven RFA. And we would have $2.16 million available for the Rowley round six RFA. Considering the discussions that we had today, the amount available for Rowley would increase because there was money not awarded this round, and the healthcare practitioner RFA would have one award available, and the Pat Brown would have two awards available, which is opposite from what we just voted on today. So we'd like the board to reaffirm that the RFAs will be released in 2019, and
inclusive of the discussions that were held today for changes regarding the partnership with the CBOs and academic / medical institutions.
Okay, that's a lot to roll into one. So to break it out a little bit,
yes.
For starters, we had the discussion about this alternation between the emphasis on the Pat Brown and the healthcare practitioner. So the idea is that each RFA will be issued every year, but the expectation is there will be a larger amounts possible or more anticipated awards for Pat Brown in 1 year, and then in the next year you would expect more awards possible for healthcare practitioner.
That's correct.
Okay,
yes.
So that's what's going on. So they're offered, issued every year, but the number of awards possible are
alternating
right.
two and one.
So then we had a question about the RFAs for both the Pat Brown and the healthcare practitioner, where in the past the requirement has been that a community-based organization partner with an accredited academic institution, and discussion there are some concerns that this may not be as inclusive as possible, that this may actually discourage applications from especially outlying CBOs where they may not have an educational organ.
With urban areas that are not in urban cities.
Can you summarize your concern and
so I think you just did. So we would like to expand the eligibility criteria for the partner institution to include medical institutions such as hospitals.
What institutions in addition to hospitals?
What
institutions in addition to hospitals? I'm looking up what's the definition of a hospital.
Well, it might include, Jeanette Depot speaking, might include community health centers like federally qualified.
You want to include those?
Rural areas, that would.
Okay, then we need a broader definition, so we have to get. But you want that broader definition of basically health centers.
So we've got the RFAs, and then so do we? Do you? What's
the
recommendation
motion,
to vote on both?
The motion has to say something like, "And we allow the department staff to word accordingly based on the clear direction in the discussion that the board had." Something like that. Yes.
So I think the example motion with edits covers that.
Okay.
That. We're going to incorporate the suggestions discussed and distribute the revised drafts to you for approval prior to going through the approval process and releasing these RFAs.
Okay, so we're ready to do that?
We're ready.
All right, so just give me a swift kick or something if this goes off the rails. All right, so then what we'll do is we'll vote on future RFAs and this amendment to both the Pat Brown and healthcare practitioner. So may I have a motion to adopt the RFAs that we had just discussed and their funding levels, and with the agreed upon suggestions of increasing the partnering institutions from academic institutions to other hospitals and health
medical centers
and medical
to
centers
medical hospitals and medical centers,
and so that will take some refinement, and so those changes will be made by the DOH, and those will be then communicated to me as chair. Is
that's
the idea
correct, yes.
Okay, and then I would have 2 weeks after the day the revised drafts are sent via email to provide comments back to the DOH staff, and then how those comments were handled would be received during the 2-week period, and that would be determined by the DOH staff. And so then no further meetings would be held to modify the following draft RFAs. Everybody still following along here?
Well,
so,
I don't know if all of that needs to be included in the motion. It does all of that, including the...
Yes.
Okay, all right.
And I think the last sentence is probably the most important, that no further meetings would be held to modify the following draft RFAs. Yes.
And so those are Rowley Round 6, it's an RFA with $2.16 million. The Healthcare Practitioner Round 3, the RFA with $270,000, and the Pat Brown Round 7 RFA with $540,000. So those three RFAs to be issued, as well as the amendment to both the Pat Brown and Healthcare Practitioner.
So moved. Beverly Cannon.
Thank you, Beverly.
Second, Jeanette Zippel.
Okay, so thank you very much. So let's have a roll call vote on that to you, Ms. Butkowski O'Brien.
Aye.
Beverly Cannon, aye.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dippo, aye.
Thank you. This motion was approved.
Good thing nobody had to actually reiterate the motion. Shall we discuss this now? So then there is, before we move to the public hearing, there was there's always an additional concern that the board has related to issues of how well the board functions and the fact that it's difficult with the membership and sort of missing or vacant member positions to achieve quorum from time to time. And it might be worth having a couple minute discussion of this. I think, Dr. Spire, you had voiced some concerns earlier.
Yes. I view this as a useful process established by the state, and this board oversees a grant review process. Given the constraints of membership and the requirements for quorum, we often have difficulty scheduling meetings because there are a number of open positions on the board that have not been filled, and that gets us very close or exactly to the quorum number. And it would seem for this group to function appropriately, apparently under statute, we need to have those open positions filled. And I would urge that the Commissioner of Health take this up with the people who are charged with naming people to the board or recommending them, and then perhaps this board draft a letter of assent to the importance of filling the open positions.
Thank you. Any other comments? It seems to me that this is a pretty common frustration on the board.
Yes.
Has been for a long time.
And it'll only get worse. The people's terms will be up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say that we've seen frustration among other board members sort of take a toll on the membership. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
You know, people get, set aside a day, and then at the very last minute, it turns out that you can't actually get something accomplished. It's very frustrating. So thank you for reading that into the record. Okay. Did I cover that? We're not going to vote on anything now? Okay, so then we'll move to the public hearing. So according to the law, at least one meeting a year shall be a public hearing at which the general public may question and present information and comments to the board with respect to the operation of the Health Research Science Board, the Breast Cancer Research and Education Fund, and the pesticide reporting established pursuant to sections 33-1205 and 33-1207 of the Environmental Conservation Law. We'll hear a report to the board on the efficiency and utility of pesticide reporting from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Our good friend Scott Menrath is here from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, and I will defer to you, Scott.
I'm not going to defer to you.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Yes, we have.
Is he going to be picked up on the mic? He has to come closer. Yeah.
I mean,
somewhere down that end, close to the microphone.
Right.
Good afternoon. My name is Rich Dickinson. I am the chief of the Pesticide Reporting and Certification Section at the DEC in the Bureau of Pesticide Management. We provided our annual report ahead of this meeting, and I'm just going to summarize a couple of the key points. Right now, the DEC is busy collecting and processing the reports for the 2018 annual reporting year. They were due February 1st. We recently sent out the overdue notices to those applicators and commercial permittees who have not reported as of yet. We are also reviewing the reports to identify issues and errors and working with the submitters to correct those errors in their submissions. The DEC is currently in the final stages of QA and QC for the 2014 through 2016 reporting data. The compiled data is currently available on the Cornell website, but we are still making more corrections to the actual site-specific data, so that data is not ready as of right now, hopefully soon. We are still making corrections on the 2017 annual reporting data. The total number of records collected for 2017 approached 9 million. We had 8,936,301 records of individual applications and sales. As noted in our report, the 2017 annual reporting data also marked a significant milestone for us. For the first time, we received greater than 90% of our reports electronically. This is something that we've worked very hard to encourage people to report electronically because it makes their reporting easier, and it also assists us in our review of the data. It's easier to process the electronic data into our database. The DEC does continue to work to move the PRL database in-house. It's now at Cornell University. We are working to bring it in-house. This is an ongoing effort, and we are making progress towards securing a contract to have that work done. And the final thing I wanted to note was the Office of the State Comptroller completed their audit of the DEC's oversight of the pesticide reporting law in the fall of 2018. I have a copy of the final report, which was issued in November of 2018. It was, for the most part, favorable of the work the DEC's doing, with two recommendations. One, of course, is to move the databases in-house, and also to work with IT, the information technology people, to develop efficiencies in reviewing and making corrections to the data to improve the timeliness of the data being reported on the website. And that's pretty much the report. So,
thank you, Rich, very much. 8 million records a year.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's a big job.
Yes.
Any questions or comments from the board on the report? No? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Rich, very much.
Sure.
So next is the public comment portion of the public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to make comments today? Again, hearing none. Okay, so we're pretty much there. So the next step is to plan the next meeting. So the next time we meet, we're going to recommend applications for funding the RFAs that are released this year to the commissioner. This meeting will be scheduled for 2020. There will be, to reach out to people for scheduling?
Yes.
Okay, so about all we can say is please respond to the staff requests. Whether you're polite or not is totally up to you. And if you can't attend the meeting at the New York State Department of Health location, you need to let the staff know as soon as possible so that they can make necessary arrangements. There's hoops to jump through to make sure that works. So, anything else?
That's it.
Any other comments, questions, suggestions? Okay, so with that, I would like to thank everybody for coming out and voting. It's been 4.5 hours with no lunch.
Good meeting.
So that's excellent. So thank you very much. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We have extras. I think Dr. Lake. Dr.
Two
Lake.
Motions and two,
yeah.
Two
Everyone
seconds.
Everyone wants to adjourn. Is it at all surprising? And so now, just for kicks, we'll go through the roll call vote to you, Ms. Bukowski O'Brien.
Aye.
Beverly Cannon, aye.
Gina Resta, aye.
Suzanne Hicks, aye.
Doug Conklin, aye.
Jeanette Dibble, aye.
Thank you. You are adjourned.